Well, I'm going to start with this tonight. I'll get to what I was going to teach, and I won't be long tonight, but last Sunday, and like Marla, my wife, and she, thank you so much for the card that blessed me. It blessed my wife. I know when I show her, that meant, and it blessed me. It meant so much to me. So shalom mishpacha, family, because you are family. You guys are precious and special. That blesses me. Yeah, Marla would have been here tonight, but I had to take her to the airport because we had our second grandson. I was with our first one this week in Chicagoland area, and I'll get an opportunity to see him again with my daughter, Abby. He's going to be 4 months this week. So, any rate, God is blessing. God is good. But, like I said, you know, Marla has a tendency to is a prayer. Not that we're not all called to prayer, but she's in intercessory prayer heavily. To the point where last night she sat up and, like you, Pastor Kathy, you'll do that from time to time. And she was actually sleeping and she said no in Jesus' name. She kept saying that. And then I kind of woke her up and she finally sat up and she just started praying and interceding. And it was over down in Florida. And it was over Brother Wilbur. Paul Wilbur, he lives in Tampa. Rodney Howard Brown's church is in Tampa. And so some other people we know. My co-worker, I still have a secular job, but my co-worker lives in Tampa. So she was praying for that. But last Sunday morning, and that's when the glory hit, when the announcements came, we started singing. But last Sunday morning, I, at about 4 o'clock in the morning till about 6, was asleep. But all I kept doing while I was sleeping, my spirit man, I knew was saying the Shema. In Hebrew, then it was saying English. In Hebrew, and it was saying English. In Hebrew, for this, like about 2 hours. I woke up before I even said anything to my wife, good morning or anything. I said, I've been praying the Shema. Well, we're in the month of Elul, which I'm going to touch on tonight, and that is time of repentance. And he kept... As I was getting ready for service and we were driving to church, it kept growing and growing inside of me to the point when praise and worship started. I walked up to my pastor, Pastor Larry, who's my pastor, and I said, I have a word from the Lord. And the Shema is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And he kept giving that to me. And in Hebrew, it's Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. In Hebrew, Echad is one. In Psalms 133, Hene Matovu Gam Naim Shevet Akim Gam Yachad is unity. Echad and Yachad is unity. Yachad in Echad is one. And that's Psalms 133. And the word that the Lord gave me after service, and Pastor said the Lord told him that for me to come up after the service, and he talked about the National Day of Prayer was last Sunday, and then he talked about unity. And as I was sharing what the Lord had on my heart, and as I was saying, here, oh, I got to that point, and the Lord corrected me as I was saying it in front of my, in front of the church, my church. And he said, here, oh, church, the Lord our God is one. And the reason I know he had me say that is, and I, on the way up here, one of the other intercessory prayers, and she's a minister of the Word, her and her husband go to the church, April, you know her. And I called her, and at any rate, she was, you know, wanting to know. She's real good friends, of course, and a real good sister in the Lord with Marla, and they're best. They're sisters. They pray together, do a lot together. And she said, I'm having Bible study right now, and just, you know, with the Lord. And she was on unity. And when you said that your mirror, who's born again, spirit filled, said that he wants all the pastors in Grandview to pastor not just the church, but pastor the communities. I knew that this is bigger than just the word I had for our church. It's for the church, collectively. And I'll make sure I share that when I get back home with my pastors. And then you said about the Day of Unity in October, and you got the Catholics and everybody coming together. And God's good. And I had that, like I said, last Sunday. And that is just... Power of God is just so strong. I mean, we'll get to where we got to go tonight, but wow. Sometimes you just like to fellowship, bask in it. You know what I'm saying? Just jump off the deep end and kind of just swim in it. And, yep. Mm-hmm. And I want to find something here that has nothing to do with what I was going to teach on, but it's got to do with that echad and yachad. And I'll find it in a minute. So my grandson's name is Theodore, and we're blessed, and he was born yesterday morning, and I'm kind of just passing the time. I apologize, but I want to find this because it's very, very important, because I studied this out. Okay, here we go. So, as I was mentioning, and it ties into October, it ties in next Sunday, or is that next Sunday? Will that be next Sunday, the day of prayer for the Grandview? Okay. And then we had the day of national prayer. And praise God, we got leaders in the body, or in the United States, excuse me, in the government. I mean, I looked at Marla, and I looked at her when that was announced, and I said, you know, I understand what my mom and dad, and you must have been a younger during World War II when they called the days of prayer. You know, and everybody would just go to synagogue or go to church. No questions asked. That's awesome. We're back to that. That's good. So as I mentioned in the Shema, Hear, O Israel, Lord, God is one. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That's one. In Hebrew is Echad. And then Hinei Mat Tovu Gam Naim Shevet Akim Gam Yachad is unity in Psalms 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. So, yachad means together, or unity. And yachad and echad are from the root word yachid, which means absolute unity and has a higher connotation than just peace and harmony. So the question is asked in the Talmud, or in the Word. How can you describe Hashem? And the absolute word, if you would ask any Jewish rabbi, in fact, I have a lot of good Jewish rabbis that I'm friends with, and I believe what I read, but I mean, I asked, and they absolutely said this. And I said, how would you describe Hashem? And they replied, Yachid, absolute unity. And I explained that to our church, the importance of it. And then, like I said, my sister goes to our church. On the way up here, I called her to see how service was today. And she said, we were praying for unity before service. And I'm studying it right now. And then you talked about, and God's awesome because it's the same spirit, it's the same God. It's the same body. We're all the same. We're part of the body. And it's for this reason that the word yachad has a higher connotation in that it also implies that we are in complete unity with the Creator and not just with other people. So if you're in complete unity with God, Hashem, the Father, how could you not be in complete yachad and echad? And that's what I'm going to pray, or will pray continually, that you know what? That's going to be awesome. There are no more schisms. Schisms have got to go. And that came to me as I was talking the word and that was talking at my church. Schisms have got to go. All this within the church, the backbiting, the, not tall enough or, too short or, they have too much money. You know, and all that nonsense with, I don't even want to mention names, but down with the last hurricane. You know what? That is a biblical thing what that man is under right now. And that is his father left him and his children's children an inheritance. Praise God that he has that massive wealth. Look how good God is to him. And then he came all in that, you know, pointing fingers and stuff. Not just from the secular world, but from within the church. And that's got to stop. I mean, the Lord has, I'm not talking on fan favorites, and I'm going to talk on a fan favorite. The Lord releases me, but I believe he will. But I talked at the ICFM conference on obedience. Not a very, you know, Lord, and like I said, we're in a lull, and it's time for reflecting. And, you know, and like I said, that Shema, like I said, I don't ever have that kind of stuff. Whereas my wife, you know, will have the dreams and visions, and, you know, Pastor Kathy, you shared that you have the same kind of thing. That's how you God operates with you. And she, of course, it was last night, it was 3 o'clock. We were kind of chuckling about that when we were eating lunch at the ICFM conference. We were kind of chuckling about that time frame, 3 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, and the Lord gave me that. And you know, when Dr. Loretta, she prayed the prayer for the National Day of Prayer, she talked about unity. And she talked about John 16. She referenced John 17. I'm in them and you're in me. And let the world will know that that's that unity. Now, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but, you know, it's highly, highly important that the schism have got to stop. I mean, the Lord's burned that into me. And I've even done teshuva, repentance, in any arena that I've gotten of any unforgiveness, any maliciousness of any sort of, against any brother or sister in the Lord. That's got to stop. Or denominations. Or making jokes. I'm believing God's going to do a great thing in Kansas City. And you're part of that. You guys are part of it. You're on the cutting edge. You guys are. This is good. This is really good. You guys, I'm about ready to start running around the room. I'll tell you what. This is awesome. I mean, seriously, when Pastor, you told me that when I walked in, I was like, seriously, it hit. And when you told me about your mayor, praise God, we've got leaders. There are godly men and women. Yes. You know, my state representative, born again Christian, she wants us to pray for her. You know, my state representative in Washington. You know, and you know, like she shared it. You know, and it's not easy being a Christian and a politician. And praise God for our vice president. Making a stand on certain things. Values. I don't eat with a female if my wife's not present. Glory to God. And he took ridicule. I don't care. You know. He didn't care. He drew the line. That's awesome. And you know what? The ugly head's getting reared and it's screaming and, you know, all that kind of. It's just a smoke screen because at the end of the day, we win. Amen. And at any rate, I'm excited about that. That is just, I definitely wrote those dates down, and Pastor, I'm going to definitely share that with my pastor and stuff, and I know they'll be excited to hear about that. I just got to make sure it's not the same time frame that Autumn Assembly is going on down in Dr. Billy's Autumn Assembly is going on. I'd have to check the dates. Right now it's not the time, but that's good stuff. Good stuff. I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians in your private time, 12 through 27, and it talks about the church jointly fitted together. That true yachad, unity, that God's called us to do. You know, when the Israelites were all in one accord, what happened? The walls of Jericho came down. You know, I talked about obedience, and I don't want to go there again. But when I talked on that, you know, Joshua and Caleb kept their hearts right and wandered around the wilderness. But when they came back into unity and repented, and, you know, when you read the book of Acts, it talks about the church when it first started. You know, in Acts chapter 4, and it says, and they were all of one accord, and no one lacked anything. Not one lacked. Because everyone gave. From, you know, they freely gave. And we're there. It's awesome. It's awesome. God is just, he's a good God. Okay. So with that, tonight I'm going to talk about Elul, the month of Elul, and the time we're in. And I'm going to talk about Rosh Hashanah. And then the next, and I'm coming back the 10th, I believe, or 15th. And then it'll already have happened, but I'll talk about Yom Kippur. And so right now we're in the first of Elul was on the 22nd, the right when our ICFM conference started. That's when the solar eclipse happened. And we talked about the significance of that. And we're at the 19th of Elul right now today. And the first of Tishri is when Rosh Hashanah is. And there's 40 days of what they call repentance. And good friend, sister in the Lord up in Chicago, and she's a rabbi, Rabin Deborah, and her husband. I'm starting rabbinical studies with them. And this is just something that I use, and if you want more information afterwards, I can get information, but it's just a devotional guide about 40 days of Teshuvah to Yom Kippur, and with the new covenant, of course. So we're going to talk about Elul. And so the month of Elul is the last month in God's calendar. It always says Hebrew calendar, but as last time I was here, I talked about it's not the Hebrew calendar. It's God's calendar, and why it's God's calendar, but God gave it to the Jews or the Hebrews first for them to oversee. And then as people that came into the church or part of the church, you know, we talked about Galatians 3:13, how, you know, and 14, how Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse, for it's written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, so that the blessings of Abraham, the same blessings that came upon the Jews, might come upon the Gentiles. So God's calendar, as I talked about couple times, it's very important to the church. Should be. Very important. So it's a time of repentance, or teshuvah. That's how you say in Hebrew, repentance is teshuvah. And it's just a time to reflect. It's a time to do some introspection, and just checking of yourself. And we do that all the time. We should always be cognizant, you know. But these are actually what they call divine, special days of divine mercy and his love. And the very essence of these days, the basic human need of closeness with the Holy One. So it has a history, and it's a time for prepared for forgiveness. So, as I don't know if everyone was here, but last time, but on the first of Elul is when Moses went up to Mount Sinai the second time to get the law, and what he did was he went up to intercede on behalf of the Israelites, because of the golden calf. And at that point, God was going to just accept Moses. He was going to blot them all out. He's just, we're done. I'm done. And Moses interceded. And basically, while he's up there for 40 days, he got the second set of the Ten Commandments and the law. And he came down on Yom Kippur. Because God said, okay, Moses, you made atonement for my people. Also, Jesus went up on the first of Elul and was out in the wilderness for 40 days. Same time, same date. And came back on Elul on Yom Kippur. Not by coincidence. And he said what in John 15, 16, 17, well, he references it in all the Gospels, but he said, I only do what my Father tells me to do, and I only say what my Father tells me to say. And so, so when Moses ascended to Mount Sinai again on the first day of the month of Elul, and he remained there for 40 days, and he came down on the 10th day of Tishri, which is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I just touched on that. And he had the second set of tablets and the promise of atonement and forgiveness. So we, if it's important to God, like you said, it should be important to the church. Not that we're not under the law, but the law's still in place. And I'll get to that in a minute. And I don't want to get legalistic or anything like that, or we have to put sackcloth on or anything like that. But, you know, it's... I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but it's just like, kind of like we celebrate holidays, the church does. Christmas, the birth of Jesus, Yeshua, right? Well, why wouldn't we want to take the time of Teshuva kind of important as a church? This is kind of, you know. So it's a challenge to prepare yourselves for awesome experience and the approaching High Holy Days. The most holiest day to the Jewish people is Yom Kippur. Just like you got CEO Christians, you got Christmas and Easter only, and you call them CEO Christians. Yom Kippur, you could be the most secular Jew, but they will be at synagogue. Like last year, synagogue was like standing room only when I was there in St. Louis. All the synagogues, but the one I was at, and I still go, and I'll go to Rosh Hashanah, and it's really awesome because Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbat, Friday, and Yom Kippur does too, and that's really special to God. So, good friend of mine, good brother in the Lord that you guys all met at the Day to Honor Israel at our church, Stuart, I'll be going with him. It's good, he's my Mishpachai, my good brother in the Lord. But, yeah, Jews won't miss Yom Kippur. I mean, you get grandmothers, you get mothers, sisters, saying you better make sure, I don't care what you're doing. As a Jew, I don't care what you're doing or what you're involved in, you will be at Yom Kippur service. You will not miss. I don't care how secular you are. And they'll be there. And praise God they go. We pray that, you know, it's kind of like the Christians, you know. It's not Christmas and Easter only, you know what I mean? I jokingly say CEO, but it's the truth. I mean, but praise God. I've been at, you know, Christmas Eve services and seen a lot of people get saved on the altar call on Christmas Eve. What a great gift to their families and to the Lord by them coming into eternal life. Best gift they could ever get. Isn't that awesome? It is. So, approaching the high holy days when every descendant of Adam, i.e. every human being, and every nation will be judged also on that day. So the word Elul is a Hebrew, it's an acronym, an abbreviation for the Hebrew words, Ani Ladodi Vadodi Li, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine. That's the Song of Solomon 6:3. So these words from the Song of Songs are actually a theme of this very special month, really realizing how beloved we are to God and how precious our relationship with is with Him. Because Proverbs 3:12, I'll get there in a minute, but it says, whom the Lord loves, He does what? He corrects. But it's all done out of love. When I was in Israel, we sang that last song. That was the Jewish Chutz neighborhood in Jerusalem. I remember seeing that, walking down that street, and of course seeing the wall, the Western Wall. I mean, I can't wait to get back there. But while I was there, I did buy Marla a pendant, and it has that on there, my beloved, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine. And she was studying this out as well, and she kind of had this. And that's how God feels about us. I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine. I mean, you think of repentance as like, is, you know, what you've been taught from man's perspective, if you will, is God's got a hammer. No, he doesn't. God is love, right? And what is love? It's, you know, 1 Corinthians defines what God is, and that's what we are because we're made in his image. She read it tonight. Pastor Kathy read it tonight, Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. What is God? God is love. So because of our love, we do repent. I mean, it's, you know, like a husband and wife. If I offend my wife, what do? I apologize. You repent. Because you hurt him. Well, same thing with our Father. You know, he loves us, but if we get out from underneath, you know, the word, that chuppah again, that covering, it's not that he doesn't want to help us. He can't. Because he can't go against his word. So we got to come. It's not where God, where did you miss it? It's where did we miss it? And the 40 days is, you know, it's just a time. I mean, you know what? It's kind of like different times, you know, God lays it on your heart in your own private time. I want you to study healing. I want you to study speaking in tongues. Well, we're in the time of teshuvah, repentance. So it's just a time to reflect. We should be doing that every day, but it's a very special time into the Lord. So, you know, during this time, the Lord reminds us that God is constantly beckoning us to return to him during this month, and we seek to improve our relationship with God and with each other. And we're talking about that unity. Yes. See, you're having that thing next week. Why? It's in the time of teshuvah. Time of repentance. You're having that with all the churches in Grandview coming together. Not by coincidence. It's not by coincidence. It's because it's a moed, a divine appointment. Like Pastor said when he was making the announcements. It's a moed. It's a divine appointment with God is what you're going to have next week. And I got to check my schedule. I don't know. I'd love to make it if I could, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I'd have to see. You know, a person can repent, not to be redundant, any time of the year, but the days of Elul are days of special divine mercy. So it is a time that is especially conducive to repentance, making amends. You know, Isaiah, let's turn there, Isaiah 55:6. And it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Our great, you know, the time of Elul is a time when the king's in the field. The analogy is a great powerful king who kind of pays a surprise visit to everyone, regardless of what your job is or what you do in that kingdom. Working in the field, part of his, you know, government, you know, it doesn't matter. But at that time, you're all important to him, the king. So it's a unique biblical insight. Also, it ties the concept directly to place the holy temple based on this verse. And Isaac went out to pray. This is Genesis 24. Verses 63 and 64, and it said, and Isaac went out to pray in the field towards evening, and he raised his eyes and saw, and behold, camels were coming, and Rebekah raised her eyes and saw Isaac. And according to what the word's saying here, Isaac established a daily afternoon prayer service, and the field where Isaac went to pray was none other than Mount Moriah. And that's the place God chose from the beginning at the time for the Holy Temple. Isn't that awesome? So Elul is a good time for repentance and every sort of individual level, a national level, a global level. Teshuva's repentance isn't just about moving away from sin, from negative actions. It's true repentance is constant daily spiritual growth within the heartbeat of all creation. A feeling of thankfulness, humility is beating in unison. There again, that's that yachad, that unity we were talking about. And here's what all these things are happening in Kansas City. Not by coincidence. Oh, you know, no. A moed. God's going to do something. God's going to do something. It could be, I don't care, it could be the Catholics, the Presbyterians. Doesn't matter. That denominational stuff, again, that schism stuff, it's just, we're the church. And I think God, in these last days, it's going to come back to that. We're the church. Amen? What did they call it when James, the first pastor, Jesus' half-brother in the church of Jerusalem, they didn't call it church, they call it the way. But they didn't say, well, we're messianic. It's a man-made term. It said, we're Christians. Church. So, the repentance of Elul is manifest by desire to deepen recognition of our relationship with God and draw closer to Him every day. And for time's sake, I'm going to go here real quick, but there's just a couple things that I wanted to point out about Elul. And then I'll go over to Rosh Hashanah and how it ties in. So, there's 13. Oh, I left my. Before I leave, I want to get my shofar because I'll blow it. Because every day during the time of Teshuvah, there is a. Would you mind getting it? Teshuvah, it's in the front seat. You blow the shofar. And the shofar is always an alarm. It's always to get people's attention. And when you blow the shofar, and I'll go back to it, but the first custom is to blow, or the first thing that you do when you blow the shofar is a long single blast, and that's the sound of the king's coronation. In other words, giving honor to God. And it's followed by three short wail blasts signifying repentance, followed by a several short blast or an alarm to waken the soul, and final long blast, that's just to close, to just say, you know, okay, now you know why you do it. So the theme of repentance, or teshuvah, appeal for the prophet Isaiah, is considered through these words. And it's Isaiah 55:6, we read it. But seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. And the passage continues and it says, let the wicked man forsake his way. And that's in the next verse, verse 7. And the perverse man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, whenever you see capital thank you. L, capital O, capital R, and D. That means Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the most holy name of God. That he may have compassion on him and to the God, for he will be abundantly pardoned. And that's in Isaiah 55:7. That ties in with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What? That whosoever believe on him should not perish but have eternal life. God's desire is not for no one. No one to go to hell. Right. Wasn't made for man. It was made for the devil. Yes. But as unfortunate it may be, there, people have their own, you know, that's their, you have a choice, a free will. So the word Elul, again, another thing, it's has a meaning of harvest, and it's well known, the name of Elul is thought to be an acronym, again, is Ani La Dodi Va Dodi Li. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. But there are other keys, things to the word of Elul. It's found in the scriptures. Like Deuteronomy 30, verse 6 states that God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your offspring. You know, and Isaiah, 6, verse 10, his heart will understand and turn and be healed. You know, in Yeshua, Jesus circumcises the hearts of those who trust him, and that's in Colossians 2:11. and his favor rests upon those who generally turn to God. Trusting in his sacrifice on the cross that he died once and for all, made atonement. And that's what Yom Kippur is. And satisfies God's righteous judgment and gives understanding to fulfill his deeper purpose. So one of the psalms that you read on every day is Psalms 51, but also Psalm 27. So we're going to read that because I've been kind of busy today taking Marla to the airport, getting my son back home, and getting him dialed in, getting my dog Abraham dialed in. That's why my son didn't come with me tonight, because it would have been a long day with Abraham, and you don't want Abraham not being able to be Abraham and do his thing, right? I don't want to go home and there's a mess in the house. So, but Psalms 27 says, "The Lord Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is my delight and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" So we think of teshuva's repentance. Again, it's not in the natural, that mindset of that religious thought process of God standing with a hammer because you messed up. I think as parents, sometimes, you know what, my mom wasn't perfect, you know. My dad wasn't perfect, you know. And, you know, disappointment, yeah, but, you know, one thing I do respect about my dad was he explained himself. My mom? Got a little meshuggah on that, but that's okay. Still loved her. But my dad, he was more rational about it and just kind of look, okay, you know why you're getting, you know, punished. It's the same thing with the Lord. It's because of the love. But you know what? Mm-hmm. You knew that he loved you. You know, and I knew my mom loved me, but like I said, you know, but she had Inkin, Blinkin, and Odd, Molly, and Curly, my two older brothers and myself that she had to deal with. So, you know, so I can understand why Esther was Esther, you know what I'm saying? But here's how he starts out. The Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is my light and my salvation. You know, this is a declaration of faith, David. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, even when we mess up, we do something wrong, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answered me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, again, will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me the will of my adversaries, for the false witness have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He didn't say Selah there. He repeated himself again. And, of course, Psalms 51, the one verse you quote every day too, is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. But, you know, in this right there you see my light, you know, Ori. It's based on Psalms 34:6, my salvation. You know, who is that? It's Yeshua, Jesus. It refers to the atonement given on Yom Kippur. I touched on that when I was reading it. And then God would hide him in a sukkah in the time of trouble, or little house that he built. That's what you make at Sukkot.